Newsflash, Kenny, there's no perfect opportunity. There's no perfect time. You just have to step out. Start where you're at with what you got, baby, because the goal of this game we call life is to see what all we can do with what we've been given. Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Johnny Juan Ortiz. He is a huge fan of tacos, if you follow him, and I'm getting hungry right now just talking with him. But he is the chief fun officer in Fun Life Coaching, for which he is the founder and chief of everything. He's the chief everything officer, but primarily he's the chief of fun. He helps frustrated professionals reactivate their childlike faith to live out their childhood dreams in the playground of life. And that is a capital L-I-F-E with periods in between. And I'm sure he's going to tell us all about that. Welcome to the show, finally, Johnny.
Yes, Kenny, this has been a long time coming, man. I am super, super, super excited to be on here with you. And I honestly believe, right, timing is everything. Maybe people weren't ready for what we're about to drop on them today. They are now ready mentally, spiritually, and we're ready to go forward with this thing, man.
I'm going to choose that version of events that just the people were not ready. We're going to drop. Something's about to happen and it's going to be transformative. And I believe that. I know from our conversations and texts and emails and everything like that, you're a guy that's always on the hunt for how he can transform people. It's something I love, I respect, I admire, because I'm trying to do the same thing. And maybe one day I'll be as cool as you. But tell me what is on your mind.
I tell you what, I'm going to go back to 2020. For the last 4.5 years, almost 5 years, right? I've been literally going into and studying fear. F-E-A-R, fear. And what I've found out and what I've come to the conclusion, and this is why I'm currently right now focused, I'm going to use your word, the transformative power of maintaining a childlike faith in our professional lives. I recently did a presentation to real estate professionals and I dressed up in my Texas Rangers gear before they lost. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. I talked about how fun is serious business. And so I'm all about rekindling childlike, fearless attitude, right? That imaginative mindset that we had as kids. I don't know if you were as crazy as I am, but have you noticed that there's just not as many kids walking around with any more casts on their arms? Any more casts on their knees?
Yeah, I think they're making them differently now.
Making them stronger. They're not taking risks, right?
Right.
And so what I'm doing is I'm applying it to the real estate professionals, personal development, and not only to dream big, but to also live out those dreams, right? The only way for our dreams to come true, Kenny, is we got to wake up and take action.
Yeah. No, you make a great point. I've even had conversations with people around, like, what do we notice different about this generation of kids that are coming up is just even in my neighborhood. I mean, we do get a lot of people walking, but you don't see kids out like the way you and I grew up, to where it's like a roving gang of kids on tricycles. We were ruthless and terrifying, I'm sure, but you don't see that. Now, I know that the world has changed, and in some ways, I think it's brighter. In some ways, I think the world's darker, and we could explore that. But I'm struck by the notion of having that childlike faith in the serious matters of business. It's funny because I was just talking with my lead pastor yesterday about some of these things. And I talked to quite a few people. It's just feeling the weight of responsibility that comes from, and I'll just use you and I, is we've jumped out. We've chosen to be entrepreneurs, or maybe we can say it chose us. But when you're a small business owner, when you're an entrepreneur, it's not just you're punching a clock, you're getting a paycheck. You're like, I'm going to show up and they're going to give me my check every 2 weeks, week, month, whatever it is. You know, we eat what we kill and we feel the weight of that. And I think for even in myself, that weight has sort of pushed out sometimes the fun of what I'm doing or of just, to be honest, the fun of living. What are you finding? You know, you've been researching this now for almost 5 years. What are you finding is sort of the the current thinking, the prevailing wisdom around fear and fun as it pertains to being a leader and an entrepreneur?
So a lot of times, and I'll kind of go back to the keyboard, right? I believe too many people have found a way to delete those three letters off of their keyboard, F-U-N. Somehow it got deleted off of their keyboard and they're just sitting here typing all day. I get it. I understand. No offense to the 8-to-5, 9-to-5ers. Mr. Ziegler always said that timid salespeople have skinny kids. And I've been on commission for the better part of my entire life. Matter of fact, since I was 19 years old. You're right. I ate what I killed. You haven't seen my kids, but I am not a timid salesperson. But in all seriousness, you get up, you go to school, you get your education, you put your degree into work, and you start to go through the ranks. Even some of the CEOs that we talk to, some of the real estate brokers that we speak to, they want to go high level. And I tell them, well, you're overcomplicating it for me. I can show people how to make six figures, multiple six figures, if they're willing to just simplify it, right? And have you ever heard of the KISS formula, K-I-S-S?
Yeah, keep it simple, for I am stupid.
Well, I had to change that because we do a lot of changing, right, to keep it positive. We changed it to keep it simple, superstar. Keep it simple, superstar. And so everyone is a superstar at something, right? Somebody has, and I'm going to go back to Air Jordan. Somebody is Air Jordan-esque in some form or fashion in their life. You're brilliant at something.
Right.
And I love Albert Einstein. He's one of my favorite philosophers. He for two reasons. Number one, he had hair.
A little wily, but yeah, it was there.
I don't care. I'll even take a different color. Give me something. For those of you not watching on my barber's I've retired my barber. But the second reason is this, and he may have taken it for someone else, right? But he said that if we go our entire lives judging ourselves, being a fish, judging ourselves as an ability, in our ability to climb a tree, we're going to believe that we're a failure. And Mr. Ziegler said it perfectly. He said that failure is not a person. It's an event. Mm-hmm. Yesterday really did end last night. Today is a new day. And so what are you going to do with the 1,440 minutes that you've been allotted here this morning?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with them? And so a lot of people just get into the I call it a rut, and they start going, and it's a routine. And I hate that for people, because the only difference between a rut and a grave is if you stay in that rut long enough, eventually that rut becomes 6 feet deep and you get buried in that rut. You get sidetracked. Life passes you by. And I simply go back and I kind of shake these people, these grown kids, these grown people, and I tell them, hey, stop. Where's the fun? How can we gamify what we're doing? And once you learn to gamify, once you learn to have fun, fun really is serious business. It was Dale Carnegie. I don't know if you can see the books, but Dale Carnegie I love one of his books. He said, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He had a lot of great books, but he said that people rarely succeed at anything unless they have fun doing it.
Yeah. There's a man, it was either a podcast or audiobook, something like that. But it just recently spoke to that in saying that mindset, like if you are in a fun or real, I think their words were like a joyful or optimistic mindset, is you'll start to notice all of these opportunities around you that when, and there's like neurological studies on this, is that when you get in that negative mindset, is you feel sort of like, oh man, like I'm trapped and cornered. I got all these things, like there's no way out. You turn into like a feral animal. But the optimist or the joyful person can start to see opportunities that may be harder to spot, but because of their mindset, it's actually wired them like that. You sort of look, you find what you're looking for all day. So obviously I think people listening, they may go, yeah, that's great, Johnny. Like I would love to be an optimist. I'd love to have fun. But honestly, that feels like a luxury. Like the life is really hard. Leadership is really hard. The economy has been tough. The budget cuts are coming. The layoffs are coming. Like, wouldn't it be irresponsible or maybe even tone deaf for me to appear to be having fun in what I'm doing?
Yeah, it could seem that way, because there's a lot of people out there that disguise their negativity, their negative mindset, their negative Nancy and their doubting Thomases with the fact that they say, well, I'm just a realist. They really do. And Mr. Ziegler, for those of you that don't know, I'm a certified Ziegler Legacy speaker, trainer, and coach. He powers my fun life community. Mr. Ziegler said that he was so optimistic that he would go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with him. That's how optimistic he would be. And so in what we do day in and day out, I get it. I understand. Life happens. We get cut. We get fired. We get let go. We get laid off. Our wife leaves us. And there's a lot of different things that happen to us that are outside of our control. And in my coaching and my speaking and my teaching, I tell people to always imagine that there's two circles, right? One is the big circle. And those are the things that are outside of their control. Things like the weather, things like there's a lot of things that you cannot control, right? If it rains, you may not be able to control the rain, but you have the ability to choose to have an umbrella, you know, a bright sunny day. You go to the beach, you can't hide the sun. But with a ball cap or a dime's worth of SP 40 or SP 50, you can kind of chill out the effects of the sun that it's going to have on you. And so that inner circle is the things that we can control, our mindset, our attitude, our actions, our thoughts. There's so much that we can control. And I tell people to focus so much on the inner circle, it pushes it and gets it so big that what's outside that circle doesn't matter.
Yeah, that you're helping people see that they have agency.
Absolutely. And it's when people feel that they have no choice, that they feel anxiety and worry and doubt and fear, not realizing that they have the ability to choose. Every single day, we have the ability to choose. That's the one thing that we have inside of us that nobody can take away. And with the right mindset, you can look at the abundance opportunity, or you can look at the scarcity.
My wife has recently taken to purchasing wall decor. Sometimes I walk into a room and it looks totally different. She also rearranges furniture about every 3 months. And I'm just thankful she does it in the daytime, because if she did it while I was asleep, I'd be like stubbing my toe. I just would constantly have a broken foot.
Our wives must never meet.
Well, one of them that she bought, the larger one she put in the foyer, says is like the pessimist would say, we're going to die. The realist says it is what it is, but the optimist adjusts the sails.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. But I think that's what great leaders do. They read the market. What's the market telling me? What am I sensing? What am I consuming? Am I reading books that are changing my perspective, you know, taking in? I mean, obviously you got a catalog of books behind you. I've got, you know, this is just one shelf. I've been told that apparently wall decor is cool. Putting up books in the house, not so cool. So I'm working on that. Pray for me. But a lot of those things like can give us these ideas so that we can adjust the sales. And I think that's just one part of it. The other part is what you were talking about, is understanding the power to choose, which I think is almost the hardest part. And that has been a banner I have tried to wave for years, is helping people understand you may have been given this and you didn't choose it, but you can choose your response. You may not have chosen what got placed in your hand, but what you do with it is up to you. What are some of the, we'll say the negative consequences of not stepping into this power to choose? What are things in your research over, because basically people are choosing fear over fun, right? What are the negative consequences and outcomes that you're seeing?
I tell you what we're seeing is that people are letting life pass them by. And when you did the intro, that acrostics for life for us, right? In the fun life coaching, fun is actually an acrostic in and of itself too. It stands for finding your, you are, niche, or niche, since we're in East Texas, finding your niche. And that life
in Chicago.
and that life, it stands for living in freedom every day. I mean, Kenny, what would it feel like if you could wake up every single morning and know that you didn't have to go to work? You got to go to work, right? Wednesdays and Sundays, we don't have to go to church, get to go to church.
Yeah.
And you're choosing the better, right? There's some people that find an opportunity in every problem, right? And there's some people that find a problem in every opportunity, or they get that reversed. Yeah. But with the negative mindset, here's what's happening. I call them seeds. And so that thought, it's a seed. It gets into your mind. It starts to take root, and it's a negative mindset. Well, that negative thought eventually gets down into your heart, because you've thought on it long enough. You dwell on it long enough. And so what happens is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and you hear them speaking negative. The world's coming to an end, right? It's that Eeyore syndrome, right? Those of you that love Winnie the Pooh, again, I'm a kid at heart. But if you start to look at everything, what's going to happen is that that thought then affects your emotions, right? The heart. And the Bible says that it's deceitfully wicked. So if you keep feeding it negativity, what's going to happen is negativity is going to come out. And so then that thought is going to affect that emotion. That emotion is going to cause you to take certain actions or inactions, right? Because an inaction is also a choice, right?
Right.
And then those actions are going to lead to give you a net result. And that net result is going to then go back and reinforce the initial thought. See, I told you it wouldn't work.
Yeah, like a self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing. You find what you're looking for.
Yeah. It's that reticular activating system, right?
Yeah.
If you've never driven a silver Corolla, you go to buy a silver Corolla, all of a sudden there's a silver Corolla everywhere because that's what's now in your mindset. But if you start putting in the good, right? Mr. Ziegler said this. I love his quotes. He's got quotes all day. And for you and your speakers, if you guys, I'd love to give you guys this free little book of big quotes because I've memorized about 60% of them. He said that we are what we are and where we are because of what's gone into our minds. We can change what we are. We can change where we are by changing what goes into our mind. So you start to change that input. All of a sudden, you start to see things a little bit differently.
One of the other things that came up is, since you mentioned some of the scripture is, I forgot where it's located, but it says the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yeah, absolutely. And
like our words have power even over us.
Yeah. And I love the part that it says where to speak of those things that are not as though they were, because all you're doing is speaking the truth in advance. You're bringing it to yourself. A lot of times we talk about dreams and goals and everything in our coaching, but I tell them, I want you to reframe how you think about your dream. You're not chasing after your dream. Kenny, what if your dream is chasing you?
I need it to run me over.
Like a Mack truck. Hit me, baby. Yeah, absolutely.
So someone's listening. They're like, okay, all right. Yeah, I can see how I've been saying these things about my situation, about my boss, about my business. And it seems like it just keeps coming back to this. So I want to change this. I can imagine, right? Like, you do it for a day. And a lot of people you coach, you're like, all right, I'll get started on that. And they're having a good day. And then the next day, they get a phone call. They lost a client. A loved one comes down sick. Something happens with their kids in school. And now they're like, okay, I'm getting bumped. How are you coaching leaders to not just say, hey, there's a better way? And they go, great, fantastic, love it. But to remain resilient in the face of oncoming adversity. Because when I'm coaching people, I find that they want a better way. They want a bigger, brighter future. They want to chase the dream or be run over by it. And they endeavor to make that change, which is great because they see I have power, I have agency. But then life conspires to knock that newfound joy and hope and desire out of them. How are you helping or coaching or recommending people remain resilient in the face of those things?
Great question. And again, if I oversimplify this, please excuse my simplicity. But I don't want you to overlook the simplicity of what I'm about to explain to you for its profoundness, because here is the key ingredient to this. Three words: never give up. And I say that because if you were to take that approach, and I tell people, take the emotion out of it. We're creatures of habit, right? We're emotional beings. We were created with emotion. And let's take away the emotion. Let's peel back the emotion. Let's just go to the core beliefs, the core reasons for why we do what we do. And the why we do what we do is so much more important than the how we do it, because everybody wants to know the how. Unfortunately, you get the why down, the how will reveal itself. And I'm going to tell you how this happens. Children, how many?
Five.
But, oh, good Lord.
We may end up with the sixth here in the not too distant future. We're reopening our home for another foster kid.
Wow, that's amazing. So let me ask you this. Of all of the kids that you've had, or if for you listeners are watching this later on, for every child that you had, and you were watching them learn to crawl, and then they learn to walk, how many times did they fall? How many times did they stumble? Mm. I mean, at what point, Kenny, do you tell that kid, hey, man, you might want to just go ahead and sit this one out. Maybe this walking thing is not for you.
We never told them that.
What did you do?
I laughed when they fell down.
If you encourage them, you laugh, you help them kind of, oh, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And then you held them by the hand. And a lot of times, especially for the older kids, I call them my inner circle. I call them the cool kids club. A lot of times we have to do a lot of handholding because their entire life, they've been taught one thing. They've been programmed a certain way. And now I get them and I'm having to reprogram. I'm having to rewire their neurological pathways that society, their family, their upbringing, their cultural conditioning, everything has told them that this is the way it's going to be. My problem with the education system, my problem with a lot of the parents is that there was a statistic that said that by the time a child is 18 years old, they will have heard the word, no, you can't, you won't, you don't need, whatever, in some way, form, or fashion, like some 165,000 times. And you divide that out by the years in their life, and then you break that down by the days, and it's like 25 to 30 times a day, they're being told, no, you can't, you loser, you can't. And so Mr. Ziegler said that people don't know what they want because their whole life they've been told what they can't have. People don't know what's available to them because no one's ever showed it to them. And whenever I come as the little, I tell them, hey, it's a little bit different out here, because I promise you, that guy out there playing baseball and living his dream, the guy out there playing football, even if he's not any good, they're still making some pretty good money.
Yeah. He can be on the reserve team and still be pulling down a nice paycheck. That's a great analogy. Something I've been thinking a lot about for myself is a lot of the what got you here won't get you there sort of thing. And I'm evaluating, like, what got me here that is good? Like Marie Kondo, I'm saying, thank you for your service t-shirt. You no longer spark joy or serve your purpose. You've served your purpose, but you're not moving forward. You're not being hung back up in the closet. I've been evaluating what sort of things no longer serve me. They were great, but now I'm in a law of diminishing return. So I really appreciate this conversation. Let's say somebody said, yeah, I'm on board with this. And obviously that people can come and get your coaching. But let's say someone says, I'm going to test some things out. What's something in the next 24 hours so that someone can do little to no money to maybe make progress towards this more fun way of living and working and being?
That is spot on where we always start. Again, going back to the baby steps. And we just simply start by identifying, creating the awareness and doing just one small action. There's the key word again, action, that would have you eagerly excited, just as a child, but hesitant to tackle due to fear or failure or judgment. What is it? You know what it is, because that decision that we're all afraid to make just might be the one that is going to put us over the edge. That one that we've been hesitating. Look, the longest time in the world is that moment between that moment of hesitation between thought and action. Just 1 second. And that 1 second of hesitation leads to 10 seconds. Those 10 seconds turn into 10 minutes. 10 minutes turns into 10 hours. 10 hours turns into 10 days. 10 days into 10 weeks. 10 weeks into 10 months. 10 years goes by, and that one thought that you had, you see somebody else doing it. You're like, oh man, I had that idea. Oh man, that was the difference is they took action. The difference is they did it. They did it scared. They did it afraid. I had to learn this the hard way, right? We all have heard that thought that says that practice makes
perfect. Actually, well, you can go with perfect practice makes perfect.
That's the way we've heard it. That's what we've been taught. And I tell everybody to dismantle that belief, because practice simply makes progress. And if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly until we learn to do it better, because everybody wants to wait till they get it down just right. They want to wait till they do it the perfect time, the perfect season, the perfect day, the perfect opportunity. Newsflash, Kenny, there's no perfect opportunity. There's no perfect time. You just have to step out. Start where you're at with what you got, baby, because the goal of this game we call life is to see what all we can do with what we've been given. And if you will just simply start taking action today on what you already know, people don't need another video. They don't need another podcast. Pardon me, right? My social media coach challenged me back October 6th of last year to go live for 7 days. It was a 1 week challenge. We started this many years ago. We had a daily show on social media where it was Transformation Tuesday. And then we had one called Faith Your Fears Friday. We decided to go live a year ago, and we've been going live every single day with Motivational Monday, Transformation Tuesday, Win This Day Wednesday, Thriving Thankful Thursday, Faith Your Fears Friday, Something to Smile About Saturday. And so for 10, 15 minutes every day, I'm giving people small little baby steps that they can take in and out. And when I started, I didn't know what I was doing, Kenny. I still technically don't, but I'm learning I'm evolving, yeah. I'm getting better. I'm making mistakes, and we all make mistakes. And it's mm-hmm. one thing to make a mistake, and it's another thing to feel like you're a mistake. And Mr. Ziegler mm-hmm. said it perfectly, right? God don't make no junk. You, I, we, us, the people listening, watching, we're here yeah. on purpose and for a purpose. And if we'll just simply step into our God-given gifts, talents, and abilities, right? We all have inside of us something that he didn't give anybody else. And we know that because of our fingerprint, right? He gave us that fingerprint so that we could leave an imprint that nobody else on this planet is going to be. Les Brown says that yeah. when we're on our deathbed, imagine yourself if all of your gifts, all of your talents, all of your abilities came to you on your deathbed and said, we came to you. And only you could have given us life. But now we must die with you. What gift, what talent, what ability, what light have you put under a bushel? What light have you been suppressing? And I'm telling you, that light is not an LED. If you will have the right mindset, the childlike faith, right? Because even Jesus said, unless you be converted, unless you become as a child, maybe you won't even see the kingdom. And so let your light shine. You are light. You are salt. There is something inside of you. There's a sphere of influence that is waiting for you to become the best possible version of yourself that in fact is going to allow other people to do the same thing. And that's that Marianne Williamson poem, right? Our greatest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness. That, I mean, I could go all day on this stuff. If they will just simply take one baby step. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, listening, watching, live, replay, whatever, you know what that is. Just take that small action. So what, you fall down? So what, you stumble? You're going to. Go ahead and expect it. Rejoice. Celebrate that you gave it a shot, because next time, you're not starting from scratch. You're starting with experience.
Yeah.
And a year from now, you're going to be either glad you did or wish you should have.
Right. And a lot of what you just said reminds me of, I think it's a Winston Churchill quote about the man in the arena.
Yes.
And I that's something that's been really inspirational to me about the what you were saying is 12 months from now, you know, glad you did, even if it didn't work out, or wish you would have, because you're always wondering. It's the people, the men and women in the arena who are willing to try, who are willing to get out there, who are willing to walk and stumble and fall down and say, hey, you know what? This is a weak muscle right now, but I'm going to keep working it out. I'm going to keep figuring it out. If somebody wanted to know more about you, more about your work, more about your coaching, your speaking and all of that, and how to live a fun life, where would you send them? Where can they find out more?
They can go right straight to funlifecoaching.com. Funlifecoaching.com. Or you go to johnnyjuan.com, johnnyjuan.com, and you can connect on all the different social media platforms I'm on. You can book me to speak. You can book me to come to speak to your employees, to your family, I do some work with nonprofits. I love to volunteer. I love to give back. And it's just something that, you know, to much whom is given, much is required. And so I want to give back to the community, because it's the community at large that was able to get me to where I'm at. And as you said earlier with the Winston Churchill, right? In life, we're either a spectator or a participant.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You get to choose. You get to choose. So do you want to watch life pass you by, or do you want to make, like, because life happens for us. And then when you get to that next level, life happens because of you. And so imagine a year from now, if you took on that deal, and somebody comes to you and, hey, because of you, I was able to do this. Unfortunately, too many people say, well, when I was younger, well, back in my day, and I get it. I understand, because you go through life. Hey, man, I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have been here. I should have gone to school. I should have stayed longer. I shouldn't have quit. I shouldn't have. And 10 years later, you wake up and all you've done is shoot it all over yourself.
And that's the clip that everybody's going to use. Right there.
Don't be that guy. Call me. I'll show you how to take fun. And the first thing we have to do is address the fear. That's the hard part. But once we address the fear, we activate the fun. It makes room. We activate the faith. It makes room for that fun. And fun is serious business.
That'll preach. Well, Johnny, thank you so much. This was a blast. I knew it would be, and I certainly don't think it'll be the last time we team up. Thank you so much. I know you got a lot more wisdom than we have time for today, so we'll make sure to have you back. Thank you to all the listeners. We obviously, me and Johnny, we do this for a living and we enjoy it. We get energy from it. But ultimately, we hope that you got the nugget, the thing that unlocked your next step in your life and in your leadership. And you can easily and freely pay that forward by liking, rating, reviewing, subscribing, like those engagement pieces. Put this in the path of more and more people who are looking for this type of content, this type of help. And that is just a beautiful way to pay it forward to your fellow leader along their journey. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.